Okay. Good. So we are finishing we finished the Ashiras and we're supposed to go on to Bitochin. I figured I would like to add one or two more Nekudas, especially since it's sort of in Yonad Yoma. It would be the right thing to add. Two things. First of all, two general areas. He spends a part of Ashiras explaining why it is that a person needs to be very careful that a person could lose Ashiras. That's one of the things he says. It's interesting that the Agadita in Gittin that deals with the Churban Beis HaMikdash starts with Asher Adam Mefachet Tamid. Fortune is a person that is always scared, and it says a kamtza v'bar kamtza tarnagol v'tarnagolta. So the flow of the Gemara is, and that's a pashta pshat, that these were very minor incidents, and there's no reason in the world why a person would think that these things could have evolved into anything serious. So it's always good to live on edge that a person is scared that any small thing might blow up to be something. So Tosfos asks a kasha. Doesn't the Gemara say that pochadu betzin chatoyim? That the Gemara Bracha says that somebody saw someone being scared, and he told them, "You must be doing averis because it's pochadu betzin chatoyim." And here it says asherim fachetomit. So Tosfos answers that because the Gemara answers over there that's divrei Torah, not divrei Torah. But on something that's not divrei Torah, they should have been scared. The Gemara answers, and Tosfos says that it's something where over here they also were. It says the lashon Tosfos. Bochanami meis lahanu uvde shabotla roif tivosim b'shavosim l'vayish v'kamsa. That they should have been worried a lot about doing all sorts of things like this because it could bring on the calamity and so on. That's the Lashon Tosfos. So, Noel asks a bunch of kashas that the sugyas don't. So, you're talking about two separate sugyas, two different yanim. Why does the Gemara answer that? The Noel has his kashas. But the main point is, he also asks someplace, I remember vaguely in the Hemshech HaDvarim, it's a Perek Hei Netzach, he says over there that there is a, he answers the following, that, he says, the Gemara is also pointing out like very minor incidents, very small things. So the point that he makes is as follows. Anything that is natural, then it's only mikoya chet that the person needs to be scared that it won't be there. For instance, should a person be scared that there'll be a mabul? Let's forget about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nishpa, there won't be a mabul. But should a person, the answer is no. Because, and that's, it's not natural because there is a mahalach where things flow in a certain way. A person needs to understand the world as being continuous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not pulling fast ones. But the flip side of it is, when you are a chayte, you've made some chisaron and so on. But there's another realm, things that are not natural. For instance, let's give a simple illustration. If a person is walking in the street, should he be scared that he's going to slip and fall? Should he be scared that, you know, are there people that slip and fall? The answer is yes. So, but the person who walks and is petrified that he's going to slip and fall is not normal, and there's something amiss with the person. Let's say a person is walking on a tightrope between two skyscrapers. The person should worry he's going to fall, because it's an unnatural mahalach. The mahalach that he's going, it's not natural for a person to balance himself on a piece of thread, and therefore the person therefore the person should be scared of falling. The pachad is something where when something is an unnatural matzav, he should be worried about collapse. So if a person is not a chote, there's no reason why he should be worried. The Lashon has narichos about Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu, it says that he was scared because of the chet. So he says that itself was a problem. In other words, the fear itself was an unnatural fear, shouldn't have been there, and that in turn becomes a problem. Because if somebody comes into my house and he walks on the floor, and he's scared of the floor collapsing without any reason, it means that he has no sense that the builder knew what he was doing. So a person who does not have a chet, and he's still worried, so there the person needs to, that's wrong. That's Mashenka, the person has a chait, so therefore he should, therefore the person should be worried, because then he's not deserving of help, and he's walking a tightrope, and that's where there's a mokum for pacha. Even if a person is not a chaite, but the point of it is, pachad needs to be, I guess, commensurate with the matzav. There are things in this world that are unnatural, shelo kederech hateva, and those things that are shelo kederech hateva, then pachad is rightfully associated with it. So we have divrei Torah, and like we've said before, we've seen before the Maral. The Maral says Chazal speak about that Divrei Torah are kosher to attain like Zohav and Noach to destroy like Schuchis. Schuchis is a very fragile. It means it doesn't really have a very lot of mamushes. Its fragility is because it's not very material, and therefore it's so fragile. And that's one issue. So Divrei Torah. Since a person is not normally mechubah to divrei Torah, they're kind of beyond him, so that's a reason to be scared. The second thing is the Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the way in which Klal Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, and everything with it, were a constant. It was shaloka derech hateva. It was a constant, shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sustaining something which is beyond teva. Eretz Yisrael, the yishuv of Eretz Yisrael was a beyond teva the yishuv, and b'meila, being scared. It doesn't take much to upset it. It's like somebody once described the difference between a helicopter and an airplane. Helicopter crashes are much, much more frequent than airplane crashes. So, it's undescribed, it's obvious. An airplane is designed to fly. In other words, an airplane, the way it's shaped, it should glide. And its aerodynamics are such that it's natural for it to hover, and so on. So obviously, once all the engines go, it sort of plummets, but it's got a long way to go with that. A helicopter is, the way its metzias is, it's not cut out to fly. A static helicopter is a rack. It's only when it's going that it goes. So it's sort of unnatural to be in the air, and any small thing wrong with it automatically makes it crash. So Beis HaMikdash, when Klal Yisrael had Beis HaMikdash, everything there was a tremendous shefa, an unnatural shefa, but that itself is mechayev, the Asher HaMefachet Tomit. Something which is unworldly, or how would I say it better? It sort of supersedes the norm in terms of its shefa is something which is most prone to disintegrate. That's the that's one point in the morale.
Would you classify Eretz Yisrael today in that
I definitely think that Eretz Yisrael can't, even today, can't be understood in terms of natural. There's almost nothing about Eretz Yisrael that's natural. It's certainly, on the other hand, it's certainly not of the darga of Kiddush that was there. It's not the darga is there, but I definitely think people definitely can look at Eretz Yisrael as being something very, very unusual, unnatural. It's something which one would think is prone to being affected very much by ups and downs of Hashkacha. We don't know exactly what they are and so on. You know, these are things that we don't know. But at least understanding the dynamics of it, that it's a highly unusual mitzias, I think is correct. I hate to say a pun, but the fact that we are in the news so often is because we're news. There are plenty of huge countries that don't make any real impact. And Eretz Yisrael, it's like every small sneeze makes shakes things. It is people. I think there's a perception that this is a very highly unusual thing. Okay, he also then the morale refers. There's another nekuda in that agarata, which the morale speaks about that is relevant to us. It's the same perik hey. He goes to the agarata kamsa kamsa. I want to just be marking something. In the previous eras, let's say 200 years ago. 150 years ago, when Jewish history started getting off the ground as a study, people made fun of the Agarata, this Agarata especially, Chumash Midrash, where Chazal seemingly took a major event and reduced it to half a dozen stories of from a secular historical point of view. These stories are, I don't know, they're not much, they're sort of a few human interest stories about the Churban. It doesn't seem to be an overview of the Churban. If you take, for instance, Josephus, where, again, whether or not it's slanted or not, but it certainly is a large chronology of what happened. And it's a work of history. I mean, it makes for rugged reading, because we don't tend to even just think, so it's like names and things and battles and battles and battles and names and so on. But it is, it's sort of historical. And they say, well, Shenki Chazal, look at it. The answer is the exact opposite. The history really needs to, the first hakdama for viewing history is what are we trying to learn? It is of limited value to know the names of all the pharaohs in Egypt, even the Roman emperors. What we're really trying to do is get a sense of a certain events, what caused events, events that shaped us. So you need to know the details to get the picture. But it is obviously, if somebody is interested in, somebody was just telling me now, he teaches special ed, and he had an Asperger syndrome boy that he taught. This boy was into history and explained to me that one of the hallmarks of Asperger syndrome is a fixation with a certain point. He got into history, he got into Andrew Jackson, who was one of the presidents of the United States, and he read 500 page books on him. And he said it was unworldly, the fixation, with reading that amount of material, as a hobby. But Chazal were looking to give us a theological perspective. They were looking to give us an understanding of chet, hashgacha, einish, tikkun, and therefore the stories they gave us are going to touch on very significant points, kipshutoi, and the remuzin that Chazal lacked into these stories are also very significant, and that's very important to remember. It's not a recording of events in Rome. It's a understanding. It's a perspective. We understand Milchamis to be hashgacha, and to be hashgacha and scharvonish. We need to pick out the points, and we need to see those nekudos. And that's why Chazal gave us those nekudos. I want to reference that also, as parenthetically, as regards the science and the medicine that Chazal picked out. Whenever you have a Gemara that has medical information, the Gemara is certainly not a comprehensive medical book. By all counts, that's not what it is. On the other hand, it was edited. Imagine somebody writing up Rabbi Chaim Shurim, and somewhere in the third paragraph, he writes, and at this point, Rabbi Chaim said, please close the door because it's cold outside. Or ask the rabbits if lunch is ready. You would find that weird to have inserts that are really so irrelevant to the topic at hand. Chazal gave us some medical information in a text that is A, certainly not meant to be comprehensive information, and a lot of times it's just kind of out in left field. I mean, you know, and by the way, Chevra, while we're talking about this Nesugya, here's some fine tips on what to eat for Pas Shachris. It's not their chachma to throw in things like that. And the answer is, and this is the Maral's point that he makes in Baragola, Chazal are not here to describe the physical world in a way that is in a way that is seen from the perspective of natural science. They are using facts or assumed facts to give us a picture of something else, we may or may not guess at it. But it's certainly for everything about it. I mean, the Maral's lashon, they looked for the tochen rather than just the shell in which it's presented in this world. But it's obvious the Gemara is a sefer about mitzvahs, hanhogas toivis, and darkei Hashem yisbarach, a dimension of hesed to it. And therefore, they're never attempting to describe it. Could they use facts that are incorrect, except people believed it to be so, and that's the facts they use? Maybe it is possible. It's not being that they're not trying to describe the physical phenomena, and they're just trying to take a muscle, so to speak. It may be that Al Kapanim. One of the strangest in this story over here about the Chum Yerushalayim. We have, Shadre Aluya La Specianus Kesa. He sent a Specianus Kesa. And for 3 years he camped, he surrounded Yerushalayim. Also, Tzarlat Lashnin, Hava Hanot Lasa Siri. There were three wealthy people in Yerushalayim. Nakdim Ben Gurion, Ben Kalba Savua, or Ben Tzitzis Akeses. Now, it says Nakdim Ben Gurion it doesn't say who, it says that one of them said, I can support Yerushalayim with wheat and barley for the duration of the siege. The second one said he can give wine, salt, and oil. And the third one said, I can give wood, firewood. And the Gemara actually says that the guy giving the firewood was considered the most chashuv of the three. And then it says, they either had enough for 21 years to feed them, and then there was this baryonim that destroyed it. So, so Mor goes into this and he says, you know, the whole story, there were three gvirim and they could feed them for 21 years, and flour, and there was wheat and barley, and there was wood. All of these details are, unless there's something to them, would be highly irrelevant. Would really be almost childish to describe that, you know, of all the events and so on. So he says, so he goes into Arichos and explains each and every remez of it. But the three things about the three gvirim, so the two points that he makes that are important, that I think that I could die to sort of learn up. One is he has two mahalchim in why it was that one wealthy man had bread and one wealthy had bread and the other one had wine and shemen and one had eitzim. So the first one he says is Ashirus itself is a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad three things. In other words, Ashirus is the symptom, so to speak, or the expression. But what it comes from, it can come from three things. He says the first one is the bracha shebay. In other words, that the person, one dimension of Ashiras is that he is a person that whatever he does is matzliach. There's a certain shefa of whatever he does. That's called, it's called bracha. That's one. So the second one he says is that the person's Ashiras is, so that Ashiras is the Etzem Ashiras. The second one is that he's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gazing on him to have a lot of things, and in order to have a lot of things, you need Ashiras. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this person is Zeichel, he calls the Parnasa, Merutik Parnasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to have a lot of goods to eat, and to you know, to wear and stuff like that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gazing on him the Aisher. And so that Ashiras is a means for something. And the third one is the social standing affiliated with Ashiras. In other words, the person's maimet of being chashuv, Ashiras is a vehicle for it. Like Rabbi Mechaber Ashirim. So the Maisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gazing on this person chashivus. And the wealth is something which gives him that maimed. The different, and the Maral says over here that these three nyonim are the only three nyonim. In other words, these are three nyonim that are possible. When you look at it in an abstract way, it's either the hisashus, the act of the success in the business, it's what you get for it, and what it does to the person. And therefore he says, then he goes into Eitzim, Eitzim is a pchin of ribui, that's a bracha, because trees are the thing that are misrabbed the most, the pre verivia, you know, the pre and so on. The chitim the sa'irim is that the person is someone that is the chid nesorim is what the person has, the shefa the person has. He eats, he has a full stomach. The mishkan, the chamra, achshivas. Person puts wine at the table, it's a achshivas. That's one way in which he describes the three different ashiras. The second way he describes is a little more al pi pnimius, and we'll describe in a second. But I just want to stop a minute and explain something. Yerushalayim was the makor and the sheirish of bracha in the world. It says kisham tziva Hashem as a bracha chayim ad olam. So the makor of bracha is Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So all facets of Birkas Hashem will find itself in Yerushalayim. So you have Birkas Hashem mikoyach the ribui, Birkas Hashem mikoyach the things you possess, and Birkas Hashem mikoyach a person possesses these things, the maila that the person has. Just like we learned that Ashiris is a kinyan, so it's maisiv to the person, and it's maisiv a certain chshivas. That is something which that chshivas is what was there. And then he says, I'll be more of a pneumistic guy from the Maral says over there, that mitzad the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is obviously the pneumis of this. There's the chesed, there's the din, there's the rachmi. So he says, the chesed is the chesed is something, eitzim is a pchinas chesed, he says, because being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his lashon is, the Maral's lashon is, kiven she'ein atzivi rak letakin ha'oichol, vein zark mitzad ha'chesed shel Hashem Baruch Hu yiseh. The word, he says, is something which is there only, it's something which improves the food. It's not the food itself. In Gittin, in the Agarat, he says something else. He says the wood has no tam, and so too chesed has no tam. It's an interesting play on the musig of tam. Tam means there's a cause and effect here, and he says chesed comes from nothing. This also not came from nothing. Then he says the chita v'se'orim is something which is din, because he says that it's impossible without it. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you, you sort of have a schustria. Wood, a person can live on dry and cold food. It's not tasty. So all it is a chesed. But wood adds a quality to the food, and it's pure chesed. Chitim Sayrim, I need to live. So I can demand, like it says that the guy, it said Rebbe Parnaseni, like, he told him to be mefanis me like behemoth and chayas. A person has a certain schustvia. If you brought me into this world, give me my bare minimum that I need. And finally, you have chamra mishcha, which is a food, but it's not a necessary food. You know, rachamim and chesed is something that bechlau you have. I guess it's something completely mitzad the noisin. Rachamim includes the mekabel, so mishcha and chamra is something that includes the mekabel, and therefore he should. It's something which comes mitzvah mikra. That's well explains. But kapanim, I guess what I wanted to, be medayik is the first part of it. That ashiris is, it's something. It's a hechetensa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person something, and it's where it's coming from, and what it's for, and how it's for, is really the ikar to understand it. So, is the person supposed to use it for being refiners with chamra and with chamra and mishra? Is the person supposed to be using it for chitim asayrim? Is the person supposed to be using it for tzivi fa'itzim? It's really the real answer to that would lie mitzad the teichen of that ashiris, which unfortunately we don't know anything today. But let's give a mashal. A person who is wealthy, very wealthy, he can now choose two paths to go with his wealth. He can become a very private person, give a lot of tzedakah, send off an anonymous check to Kupas Eir or Vader Abanim or whatever it is, and sit in the corner and learn. Or the person can go around and tell other people, I gave X, what about you? Why don't I give this to him? This is a need, this is necessary. And so you have two different mahalchim that Ashiris accomplishes. The fact that I'm giving, I can leverage and get other people to do things, or I can use my time for myself and learn. There's no one answer. And each person has his, you know, ideally it's something that we should, by understanding what this Ashiris is, is the nisoyen of this Ashiris to give tzedakah? Is the nisoyen that I don't get spoiled and I don't live a life that carries in itself some of the decadence, and the real nisoyen is just to live simply despite the fact that I have Ashiris? It's interesting, I know somebody, an acquaintance of mine whose parents are arguably one of the wealthiest people in Silver Spring, they don't live anymore. And he told me once, this person is a really wonderful person, he said, my greatest hakaras hatov to my parents is, until I was 20, I had no habermin that were wealthier than anybody else in the community. His parents lived the same exact lifestyle like everybody else, works for the government and makes a few dollars and that's it. And the kids, it was all about their education, their chinuch and going on and so on and so forth. And the parents gave them lots of stuff, but that was it. It didn't affect, the person did not feel it needs to affect his lifestyle at all, and kept it that way. You know, it's different mahalchim have different, Ashiris, what the person needs with Ashiris is really totally on the shoresh of the Ashiris. And that's why one Ashiris needed to be used for Chamra and Mishcha, one needed to be used for Tziva, one needed to be used for Chit and Sari. Unfortunately, part of the Tzara Dechubim is turning a Deir Adma. We have no clue as to what we're supposed to do. And we're helpless about this. So okay, that's part of the tsar of it. But in terms of the Libet Emes, this is something that should have tremendous. It's understanding that. I'll give you a mashal. Eretz Yisrael was like a fountain of water that kept spouting water. What happens, what grows depends on the lands and the seeds. So everything in Eretz Yisrael was Nisbarach, but there are different types of brachas, and the three main branches of brachas are aligned with Chesed, Din, and Rachmim, and therefore it expresses itself in different way. Any questions?
Why is the Tao emphasizing bracha so much as a kind of churban? Isn't churban the opposite of bracha?
Well, to understand churban, we need to understand what we lost. And a lot of times, let's take it a mashal. Let's say somebody has a father. My father's lived many years ago. Somebody has a father, so he has a father, and it's nice. He has a nice relationship, and he has a nice father, and it's more fine. But somebody has a father, and the father passes away, and now he no longer has, he misses his company, he misses his advice, he misses his financial aid, different things. So different people have different, when you have many things, you miss it a lot of times more b'shas korban than b'shas binyan. I think we're missing poor Rabbi Siegel, or somebody dropped out before. Are you on?
Yeah, I'm here, thank you.
Okay, it said the call dropped. I as we started talking about what we're missing from different people, I missed you. Okay, but so it's dafke b'shas korban that you begin to realize that it was a lot more than one thing. It's a b'chinas bracha, and bracha manifests itself within many different, in every context. Okay, is Matthew there?
Yes.
Okay, I got an email this morning from H that they finished all the tapes. And
oh my word!
Who should they contact? So I will forward it to you, and you will, and you can take care of it, Bez Hashem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I guess we won't. I will be in Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Elul. If we want to get together, we can do that. We're making a bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, Bez Hashem, at Ches Elul, I think, is the Shabbos of bar mitzvah. So we'll be there till then. I'll come at the end of Av sometime. And I know when it's going to be, like last week of Av, I think I'll be there. And then Bez Hashem, right after Sukkot, I think I told you we're having the Chasna will be at Chof Ches Tishrei, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, so this is the last week till El, I guess.
Okay. Thanks, Rabbi Opiansky.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you.
Good
Shabbos.